couple of other business stories we should look at. One is Rupert Murdoch buying Dow Jones and the Wall Street Journal. When you think there are three major, most influential newspapers in the world, the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times and the Times of London, and Rupert owns two of them.
Yeah, look, he's done phenomenally well for a 23-year-old, I think he was, when he took over his father's very small empire, as it was back in October 1952. And it's been a 55-year journey where he's put together the most powerful media empire in the world, and I think it is fair to say it's been his crowning glory to buy Dow Jones and the Wall Street Journal in a deal that only closed a couple of weeks ago. But there's actually an interesting little connection to this story today, and that is the question of another West Australian called Andrew Forrest, who is the controlling shareholder in Fortescue Metals. Now, today, for the first time, Andrew Forrest's shareholding in Fortescue Metals has gone past the value of Rupert Murdoch's shareholding in News Corp. So Rupert's always been the richest Australian, and he is about to surrender that mantle to Andrew Forrest, who's still in his 40s. He's a relatively young man. But he's ridden the iron ore boom, and the share price was up another 15% today, Fortescue Metals, and is now his shareholding is now worth $8.66 billion, whereas at the close of trade today, Rupert Murdoch's stake in News Corp is $8.5 billion. So Rupert is still the man in terms of Australians, but he might no longer be the richest Australian if the mining boom and Andrew Forrest and Fortescue Metals continues to go north on the back of Chinese demand.
Now, Andrew Forrest is now Australia's richest man.
Well, based on the shareholding valuations tonight, he has the most valuable individual holding in any listed company on the Australian Stock Exchange. So his stake, his 36% stake in Fortescue, is tonight worth $8.66 billion. And Rupert's been sold off a few shares recently in News Corp, and News Corp shares have been a bit weak because of the whole US dollar falling and the US economy being a bit slower. So whilst Rupert has bought the trophy asset of, you know, Dow Jones and the Wall Street Journal, his share price has actually been going south a bit this year, whereas Andrew Forrest and Fortescue Metals, their share price is up tenfold over the years. Over the year, it's been an incredible rise, and you know the company itself is now worth, you know, pushing $23-24 billion, and it doesn't even produce a ton of iron ore yet. So it really does summarise this whole resources boom, that a company which is simply developing its iron ore mines in WA, trying to break the traditional stranglehold that BHP and Rio Tinto have had over iron ore industry in Australia. This company, which is going to do its first shipment in May, the controlling shareholder, the founder, is now worth $8.66 billion on paper. And the other great irony and the other amazing business story in recent weeks has been that BHP is trying to buy Rio Tinto at the moment to create a $400 billion company, which would be one of the six or seven biggest companies in the world. So little old Australia, coming out of this mining boom, might yet have one of the top companies in the world. And, yeah, it just shows you how, despite all the problems in the US with subprime, et cetera, the rise of China, literally, you know, hundreds of millions of Chinese are urbanising, moving to the coast and to the cities, and all the building and development that's going around that is, you know, causing some seismic shifts in the way the world economy works.
Now, James Packer had a fair year, though. He got married. He'd be happy about that, wouldn't he?
Well, like, James had a good year. He got married, and he also walked away from the media to a large degree. He sold another 25% stake in Channel 9 and his traditional magazine empire. And he also he went hurtling down the casino road, buying up casinos in Canada, moving on Russian casino interests, and big spending billions in Macau, building casinos, and separating his PBL company into a separate casino entity called Crown, and the sort of rats and mice residual media interests. And interestingly, in terms of the $8 billion Packer family fortune, $3.5 billion of that is tied up in the casino business, and only $1.1 billion of that fortune is now tied up in the listed media assets that he's got. So it's been a good year, but his mate Andrew Forrest has arguably gone past him just in the last few days as the richest Australian resident person, because Rupert's based over in New York. And yes, he did get married, though, and he's rushing down the casino path. So he's had a good year. I mean, you know, when you're doing the sort of deals that James Packer's doing, spending billions building a global casino empire, you know, you're still noteworthy, I think it's fair to say, Rod.
It's a really fascinating thing, though, with James Packer, that not long after his father died, he divested himself of what his father's favourite thing was, which was Channel 9, and really threw himself completely into something that his father... Well, obviously his father loved casinos, but as a player, not necessarily as an owner.
And that is a very interesting question. I went to the last PBL AGM at Crown Casino and said, look, you know, casinos are an awful way to make a buck, James. It's really disappointing you're getting out of the media and you're going into casinos. And he's never really answered the question as to why, what is his passion for casinos. And I don't know, I was having a chat to someone who's followed him closely over the years recently, whose theory was as follows, that James knows exactly how much his father lost playing casinos. Mm. And he's never been a player himself. He's more just a, you know, he knows how profitable they can be from having clients such as his father. And this person's theory was that they think James wants to show his father that he was a mug for playing casinos from the wrong side of the table, and he was going to show him how to make a fortune actually being on the right side of the table, being the house in a global casino business. And that's what he's doing. So the Australians don't produce that many internationally known business empires. Obviously there's Rupert Murdoch at News Corp, and there's Frank Lowy at Westfield, which is the world's biggest shopping centre empire. But James Packer really does look like he's trying to put together one of the world's biggest casino empires. And something that maybe his father would have been proud of if he'd still been around to see it being developed.
McCary Packer had a long-standing dislike of the regulation of TV and media in Australia. You'd be mad to stick around. It doesn't make the money that casinos do, really. I mean, casinos are just licenses to print money.
Well, they are, but I mean, I've spoken to people who've had conversations with James Packer who say that the reason he still wants to have a foothold in the likes of Channel 9 is the political power it gives you. I mean, there's always been this whole status that comes from being a media owner. And I think since James has sold down out of ACP and Channel 9, that his aura in Australia, in Australian politics, has diminished somewhat. He's still in there to some degree with 25%, but it is reduced. He doesn't control the businesses anymore. And look, he's just making what many think is a smart business decision, that Channel 9, you know, free-to-air ultimately is going to be cannibalised by things like fast broadband in everyone's home and, you know, and hundreds of other channels on pay TV, these things. It's a declining medium. Same with magazines. It's a declining medium, and so he's getting out. He's still concentrating. He's still got his investments in things like Seek.com and the online classifieds business, and he's got 25% of Foxtel, so he's got a few other media plays out there. But I think from his point of view, it's just, I'll sell out of the low-growth media assets. I won't be sentimental about it, even though my father was a bit more sentimental. I'll take the big bucks from private equity, and I'll plough it into casinos, which is an interesting way for Australia's, or formerly Australia's richest man to go.